Welcome to Diver City Church Sermons. We hope that you enjoy this week's message by Pastor Ray.
John chapter 11. Anybody glad to be in the presence of the Lord? Some of you say, I don't really know what that means, so I got a question. Do you feel good? Because when you're in the presence of the Lord, you feel good. When you come to church with problems, but you get here and you forget about your problems, it's because God's presence is in the building. John chapter 11, verse 38, it says, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. It stinks. For Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, that you would see the glory of God? When they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people that's around me standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you have sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus had died and was in the grave for 4 days, and word reached Jesus that Lazarus was dead. So Jesus took his good old time getting to Lazarus. The scripture says that someone sent message to Jesus. Jesus was in another town. And Jesus says, I'm coming, don't worry about it, I'm getting there. But he didn't go quickly. He arrived days later, the scripture says, and at this point, he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus resurrected him. The title of today's message is Resurrect Me, Lord. We need God to resurrect us. Some of y'all are saying, I'm not dead, but I want to ask you a question. Is your marriage alive? Is your marriage healthy? Is your marriage striving or burning or hitting on all four or eight cylinders? How about your joy? Do you have the joy that God told you you could have? Depression, anxiety, fear, worry. Are you operating at your best? Are you sleepwalking? Are you like a zombie who's got motion, but he's dead? Are you going through the motions of life, simply maintaining, going to work, working your 40 or 50 hours a week, paying off all of your bills, but there's no joy in you. There's no mojo in you. Are you simply going through the motions? Because if you are, you need resurrected. I believe we all need a touch of God's power. I believe there's an area in every one of our lives that is dead, and we have buried in a grave, and we have become comfortable with walking around dead. I preached another series on sleepwalking and how some of us go through all of the motions of life. As a sleepwalker, you get up and people perceive you to be awake, but you're doing things stupid, which lets us know that you are asleep, such as peeing in the corner instead of the toilet. See, but when you're sleepwalking, you don't know you're peeing in the corner because you think it's the toilet. It's funny that a lot of us are sleepwalking and you say, no, I'm not, because I come to church every week. You don't know it when you sleepwalk. A lot of us are going through the motions of Christianity, but there's no power. The Bible talks about in the end times, there will be lots of people who have a form of godliness. Or they talk about God, but they deny the power thereof. They don't understand that there's power and authority to change our life. We shouldn't be bound to grave clothes anymore, family. We shouldn't be Christians that talk about life and life more abundantly, but really we're in a grave. Our situations are dead. We're living or walking on a dead-end street full of bumps and adversity. And at every turn, we get more depressed and more anxious and more worry comes about us. That's not what God wants of us. When we're alive and well, we can go to sleep at night and know that it's all good. God's in control. But when you're overwhelmed by fear and anxiety and you really got grave stuff going on in your life, dead stuff going on in your life, it causes you to worry. It causes you to wonder. It causes you to be scared. It causes you to be intimidated. It causes you to not be who God's called you to be. But when you're resurrected, you're confident in who you are and who God is in you. When you're resurrected, you can lay your head down at night and get a wonderful night's sleep. When you're resurrected, you're not worried about what's happening because you know God's got it all under control. I want us to see just for a moment how we can be resurrected. By a show of hands, is there anything in your life that you say, I'd like God to bring more life to that? Raise your hand if you're saying there's something in my life I'd like the Lord to bring more life to. I see some liars in the building. You need to raise your hand. You need the Lord to bring life to your lies. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand. And I'm, Lord, forgive them. That's all I'm going to say. Forgive them. But the reality is I believe there's an area in all of our lives that we need the Lord to give us more, to do something new. And I just want to point out a couple of things, and I'm going to try to emphasize on the word try. Remember that. Don't say later, Pastor said he's going to be quick, and he wasn't, because I never said I was going to be quick. I said I was going to try to be quick. The first thing that I want us to see is that Jesus said to those standing around the grave, roll the stone away. He said, take away the stone. In John 11:39, he said, take away the stone. The first point is we need to roll the stone away. See, I don't know what it is in your life that you're believing God to change. I don't know what it is in your life that you've been praying that God would revive. There's something in your life that you've been like, Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need revival. I need you to touch me. I need you to come through for me. I'm living in a grave. My situation is dead and I need you to come through. And Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, roll the stone away. Now, some of y'all are probably saying, what is happening here? I need us to understand that we play a major role in the things of God being completed. God could have said, stone, I command you to move. And the stone would have been gone. Jesus could have said, stone, I command you to break into pieces. And the stone would have broke away, disintegrated. Jesus could have said anything he wanted. Matter of fact, Jesus could have said, you stay here, I'm going to walk through the stone. And he could have went in and got inside the grave and blew the whole thing up. And then they all came out like, whoo! Right? But instead, Jesus said, I want you guys to roll the stone away. It really shocks me that Jesus was interested in the people being a part of the resurrection. We have been convinced that if we just simply keep praying and keep believing, that sooner or later I will be revived. Can I just tell you a little secret? God don't work like that. God doesn't just sit there and watch your lazy, stubborn religiosity that prays all day but puts nothing into action. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Jesus commanded them. He says, if you want a resurrection, I command you to move the stone yourself. God wants us to meet him. God wants you to come on the scene and say, Lord, here I am doing my part. A lot of people say things like this. Lord, I want to, I'm sorry if I'm talking about you. Lord, I want to quit smoking. Take it from me, Lord. He ain't taking it from you. God is not going to betray his word. God is a God that gives us something called free will. He cannot take everything away from you and make you want to serve him, because that would make you robots or angels. And we are his most valuable creation that think logically, rationally, and use our entire mind and our intelligence is able to weigh out the fact that this isn't good. It doesn't honor God. And then we say, Lord, I'm going to take a step into the unknown of quitting. I'm going to take a step into counseling. You can't keep praying that God just fix your marriage, but you're embarrassed to get counseling. If you want God to revive your marriage, you need to get your butt in counseling. You take a step into counseling and God will revive your marriage. He can't take away your addiction if you're not willing to quit. Who was that for? Don't raise your hand. He can't take away those things in your life if you don't surrender. And for so long, we've been praying, Lord, move this rock out of my life. Lord, bring breakthrough in my life. Lord, bring revival in my life. And the Lord is saying, it's really easy. I told you to leave them and you wouldn't. I told you to quit and you haven't. I told you to stop and you said no. I told you to go. You said I can't. But yet you want me to bring revival in your life. If you will take a step, I will revive you, resurrect you, and lift you up and use you. But we have been convinced that it's all up to God, but it's not all up to God. The scripture says that we are rewarded based off our own labor. Some people are saying things like, well, why in the world is Quincy 22 and God's used him like that? Well, you'd have to ask him where he was when he was 16 years old and 15 and 17 and 18, and compared to where you were at 16 or 22 or 44 or 55. Because Quincy told me 6 years ago, I think, that he was praying and the Lord gave him a vision of four pillars of fire in St. Louis. And he was praying and consecrated himself to the Lord and God began to shake some things in him. I want us to know that if we want God to shake some things in us, we need to make a decision to do things different than we've always been doing them, because God can't resurrect you when you're dead and unwilling to do anything. He don't need you to be perfect. He don't need you to have it all worked out. He don't need you to know the end from the beginning. All he needs you to do is say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to step. That's it. I'm willing to step. I don't know where. I don't know what. I don't know what it looks like. But if you tell me to cut them off, I'll cut them off. If you tell me to run, I'll run. If you tell me to stop, I'll stop. But Lord, I quit and it's hurting. I'm stressed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm eating a lot. I'm gaining weight. I don't know what to do. And God says, I got you. Now that I've seen you take the first step, I'm going to take the rest. I believe some of you have not seen resurrection yet because you haven't started pushing your stone yet. Some of you are waiting for God to push your stone for resurrection, but the Lord is saying, I'm not going to resurrect you unless you play a part in the resurrection. The ball is in your court. So it says we play a major part here in the things of God being completed, and God can move mountains. Yes, he can, but he usually uses people like you and me to pick up each rock one by one and move them. Yes, God, the extraordinary God, takes ordinary people and uses us to bring revival. So, Pastor, are you telling me the only thing separating me from the promise that God told me was me? Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty ignorant to keep praying that God moves, but you don't move. It's pretty stupid of us to be convinced that God's going to show up, but we haven't shown up. And the enemy has been lying to us for so long in this watered down gospel of America that tells us that he loves us where we are. It doesn't matter what we do. Disobedience doesn't separate us. And that is so far from the truth. And God is saying, if you will simply start moving the rock, I'm going to show up and show you that I'm the rock. And then the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And everything you want to do, you can do. And then the scripture comes true that says no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment I shall condemn. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head, not the tail, the lender or the borrower. Which one are you? Are you the head or the tail? Better yet, are you the front or the butt? Let's just be real. I mean, what are you? Are you the face of the joke or the butt of it? What is it? Where are we at? And for too long, the enemy's been raising up butts in the church. Now, I shouldn't say that, right? Is that not cool? God wants to mobilize you and do something in you, and you just need to meet him. The second thing that I want us to see. Number one, as I mentioned, roll the stone away. Number two, look what it says. There's a smell. There's a smell, Lord. There's a smell. You're telling me to roll the stone away, but can I tell you something, Jesus, real quick. I don't know if you know this or not, but he's been dead 4 days. And in our culture, after 3 days, the body begins to decompose and break down. So it's guaranteed that by the fourth day, there's a smell there. The carcass is breaking down. The skin is breaking down. Everything is set. The eyes are sunk in. You can guarantee smell it. If I move this stone away, it's going to stink. I mean, Jesus, I'm just trying to remind you, because I know that you're telling me that resurrection will come from me moving this and doing this. But if I do this, it's going to cause another problem over here. Are you sure you want me to move this stone? Because quite honestly, it's going to stink. And Jesus says, I know it's going to stink. It's never easy to move the stone away. It's never easy to get to a place of revival. It's never easy to get to a place where God completely restores you and saves you and fills you and saturates you with his presence and takes you somewhere great. It's not easy. It stinks. God often calls us to do things that are crazy and uncomfortable and smell and rub us wrong and stretch us and irritate us and overwhelm us. And it's when we step out of our comfort zone and we do the radical things for God that he shows up in the midst of where we are and shows himself true. So number one, you need to be willing to step, honey. Brother, you need to be willing to step, bro. Look, don't stop praying. God, show up. He's already showed up. Now he's waiting for you. Number two, but if I do it, it's going to hurt. It's okay, do it. But if I do it, I might get hurt. It's okay, do it. But if I do it, something else may happen. God said, it is okay. You just step out. I've got you. Can I tell you that serving the Lord's not easy and it doesn't always smell good? Do I need to say that again? Serving the Lord's not easy and it doesn't always smell good. Matter of fact, if you can serve the Lord and it smells good, but then you can't serve him when it smells bad, that's not serving. Serving isn't serving when things go well and look well and you're doing good. Serving is serving when you don't feel like serving, but you keep serving anyway. Then I want us to see the third point here. Jesus was going to get the glory through the grave. The glory through the grave. Some of you may be in a grave today. Some of you may be dead and wondering, how in the world is anything going to work out in my life? And I have stopped by to tell you today that there is glory in your grave. God is trying to bring glory in the midst of your troubles. It says in John chapter 11, look at verse 4. It says, when Jesus heard of Lazarus, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now you need to listen. You need to really listen, because it seems like Jesus is contradicting himself. Because Jesus caught word that Lazarus was sick. And then Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, right? It's not unto death. He's not going to die, but for the glory of God, the Son of Man may be glorified. He says, look, Lazarus ain't going to die. He's not going to die. The only reason he's sick is for the glory of God. Then look, then it says, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. So keep in mind, Lazarus is over here. And then Jesus and his crew is over here. And someone is sent from Lazarus to Jesus, another town. And they heard that Lazarus at this point was not dead, but sick. And Jesus said, don't worry about it. Lazarus is sick, but not unto death. And then they left. And then Jesus and his disciples stayed behind. And then Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus is sleeping. But they thought, you know, really he's sleeping, because he just said that Lazarus wasn't going to get sick and die. So of course he's sleeping. And Jesus says, you all just don't get it. When I say sleeping, I mean that he is dead. And now they're saying, well, I'm a little bit confused, because just yesterday when someone came and told us Lazarus was sick, you told him he was sick, but not unto death. And now that they leave, you're telling me that he's dead. If he's dead, then how's he dead, but not unto death? Then let's keep reading. John 11, 17, it says, so when Jesus came and he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, verse 32, she fell down at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I need us to see the connection here of what's happening. Can we go back a verse real quick? Go back one verse. So it says that Jesus said that Lazarus was sick, but not unto death. But then after that, it says that Jesus told them that Lazarus was dead. But it says, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. Because if I was there and he was healed, you wouldn't appreciate the healing. See, a lot of times God does a work in us, but he does it so quick that we give credit to medicine. We give credit to oils. We give credit to people. We give credit to opportunities. And God is always working on our behalf, but sometimes he does it so fast that we don't even give credit to do who credit goes to. And Jesus said, I'm not going to allow Lazarus to be resurrected and my daddy not get the glory. I already know that Lazarus is sick and they haven't even came and told me yet. I'm not going to that town, because if I go to that town now and he's healed while he's sick, God don't get the glory. If I go and he's only dead 1, 2, or 3 days, God don't get the glory. But if I wait to the 4th day, tradition says that after 3 days, your soul departs, and that's when the body begins to break down and the death is official. That's what Jewish customs teaches and believes. So the real death, they honor after the third day. Jesus knew that he could not come back in the first 3 days, or they would give credit to tradition and not to the power of God. So Jesus says, I need to wait until the fourth day. And it says multiple times in the text, the fourth day. And now on the fourth day, Jesus shows up on the scene. He told his disciples that Lazarus was dead, but then he also said that Lazarus would not die. So he told they said that Lazarus was dead, but he also said he would not die. I came by to tell you that it's not like you're just in a bad situation. Some of y'all are dead, but you will not die. Somebody needs to let that sit in for a minute. Look, I'm not going to sit here and smooth it over and encourage you and tell you that your marriage is great, because the fact of the matter is it might not be. Your marriage may be dead, but it will not die. Your ministry may be dead, but it will not die. Your mental stability may be dead, but it will not die. Your psychiatric imbalances and all the mess going on in your head may be dead, but you will not die. That's what he was saying. See, a lot of us, what happens is we get so low that we know that there's no way out. And Jesus says, I need him to know that even when all hope is gone and there's nothing else left, I still can revive and set a captive free. See, I think that Jesus knew without any doubts that the people would not appreciate the blessings had he done it any other way. So now we go back to John 11:17, and it says, so Jesus came up on the scene again the fourth day. We see that there. Then in verse 32, Mary came to Jesus and saw him, and she fell at his feet. And look what she says. She says, Lord, if you had been here, I would not have had to watch my brother die. If you would have been here, my brother would have lived. If you would have been here, Lazarus would have lived. If you would have been here, my cousin would have lived. If you would have been here, this situation would have worked out. But because it took you so long, now all hope is gone. And that's what was happening in the other verse. Jesus said, look, he's dead, but the purpose of him being dead and me being gone is that God gets the glory when I go back. See, Jesus knew that he couldn't go back too early, and confirmation came through the lady. The lady said, Jesus, if you would have just come sooner. Have you all ever been there? You start coming to church, right? And things are going kind of good. And you're believing God's going to restore your family. He's going to bring forth a breakthrough, get you the job you wanted. He's going to restore the ministry to you. He's up to something and you're excited, right? And it's like you begin to feel good about what God's doing because there's a little bit of hope. Well, if God shows up in that moment of hope, it just makes sense. But what if it all gets worse? What if the opportunity that you thought was coming is no longer available? Well, what if the diagnosis and your levels and your cells working out and the things that the doctors were saying that seem to be on the up and up spiral down overnight? What happens? What happens when your marriage starts to do better or your job is promised back to you? What happens when everything is looking good and you begin to get excited and then all of a sudden it's worse than it's ever been? Job's gone. Cancer's back. Stage 2, now stage 4. What happens? What happens when everything is ripped from you and there's no hope gone? See, here's what we do as humans. We believe that God has the ability and the capability to do miracles when it makes sense to us. But every one of us have a cutoff point, where when we reach this point, we no longer believe that God can do the miraculous. We look, it's stage 2, God can heal me. It's stage 3, God can do something in me. Oh, you know what? I'm 35 and God can use me in ministry. But what happens when you're 75? What happens when stage 2 goes to stage 4? What happens when 5 years of loneliness turns into 50 years of loneliness? See, a lot of us can believe the Lord can do great things when things look like they can be resurrected. Well, what about when it doesn't look like resurrection's possible? What about when the hope that you believed in and the steps that you thought were getting there completely get destroyed and now there's absolutely nothing? See, my God is so awesome that when all hope is absolutely gone and we are bankrupt and broke and we have nothing to offer anyone or to offer God, He can come through in the midst of adversity and change our entire situation. And you were on the outside saying, if the Lord would have showed up then, it would have worked. God said, nope, nope. That's what we do. And well, if God would have came 8 years ago, He could have restored my marriage. But, it didn't work out, so I got a divorce. Let me tell you something. If you would have just hung in there, God would have restored it. But we're human. We're human. We get impatient. We begin to doubt. We begin to wonder. We begin to second guess. And if we just sit there and say, Lord, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can. I'm taking steps into whatever avenue, into every area I need to. And then God says, I've got this for you. I just need someone to know today that if you want resurrected, you need to start taking steps towards the Lord. If you want resurrection, you need to know that sometimes it's going to be stinky. If you want resurrection, you need to know that it may be the lowest moment of your life and you now have reached this place like the others who say, Jesus could have came, but I don't think He can now. Jesus could have done a great work, but I don't know that He can now. And I came to silence that spirit of deception that tells you that your life is done and there's no hope. And I bind every demonic spirit that comes upon the people of God. And I pray that you will dream again, that you will believe again, that you will be restored again, that you will walk in completion, and you will hold the scripture dear to your heart that says, God will perfect that which concerns me. Yes, my life's jacked up. Yes, it seems worse than it's ever been. Yes, everything's falling apart. Jesus, why didn't you come last year or the year before or the year before? There's no way there's hope now. And Jesus is saying, you are not dead. I will bring you back to life if you just keep holding on, if you don't give up, if you keep keeping on, if you keep pushing, you keep pursuing, you keep running, you keep moving. I'm going to show up in the midst of your issue and I'll resurrect you. I'll lift you up and exalt you above every other name. See, because God wants to exalt us. I don't know if you know that or not. God wants to humble us and then exalt us. Much like a bow and arrow, it's pulled backwards. Some of you have been pulled backwards in your life. You feel like you're not quite as far as you used to be. You're further than where you're trying to be. And God is saying, I need to pull you back. And once you let go, you're going to go catapulting forward. God is saying, I'm trying to get you forward. But the only way for me to get you where I'm trying to get you is for you to start moving your stones, be okay with the smells, know that I'm going to get the glory through it. And it doesn't matter how bad it is, I'm coming. Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm coming for you. Don't give up. I'm coming. I'm coming. But it's dead, Pastor. I'm coming. Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for your marriage. I'm coming for your psychological issues. I'm coming for your depression. I'm coming for your anxiety. I'm coming for your drug addiction. I'm coming for your financial despair. I'm coming for your discord. I'm coming for your dysfunction. I'm coming for you. I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to show up and show out, Jesus is saying. Yes, He's coming for you. The last point is this. Life. Yes, there's life after the grave. Pastor Billy on Friday night shared about the bones in the book of Ezekiel. He was talking about how the dry bones were very dry, the scripture says. And they were dead. They were all separated. And Ezekiel saw this vision. And the vision was a bunch of dry bones in the valley. And then Ezekiel said, dry bones come alive. The scripture says that the dry bones got some joints and tendons. And they formed up as bodies. And they were walking around looking like bodies. Remember, sleepwalking. Dead but not alive. He says it was symbolic for zombies. And he said there's lots of Christians who have been partly blessed by God. And they now are able to walk around and function, but they don't have the Ruach in them, which is the Holy Spirit, the breath. And then Ezekiel prophesied again and said, breath of God, consume these bodies. And at that point, the bodies, which were simply walking around functioning, immediately had life in them because of the Holy Spirit. And they came alive. And Pastor Billy was saying, many church people walk around, but they don't have any breath in them. Why do I say that to you today? I say that to you because when you look at the life of Lazarus in John 11:44, it says, and he who had died came back. He came back. He was alive again. But look what it says. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So I got a question. Did Jesus bring him to life? No one's answering me. Is Lazarus alive here? Okay, only four people's answering. And their answer is right. Okay, so we're going to try this again, okay? Did Jesus bring Lazarus back to life? Okay. So he who had died, Lazarus, has now come back to life, but he is bound. So he came out of the grave. But now that he's out of the grave, he's bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face is wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, remember, Jesus said to them, not to him, to them. Them is the church, the disciples, the followers of Jesus. Loose him. And let him go. What he said essentially was, I want you to take the cloth that's around his face. I want you to remove the grave clothes that are on his body, because there's no way that I'm bringing someone back to life, but now they're still walking around dead. See, when Lazarus first came out the grave, he was alive, but yet dead. He had life, but he was still in grave clothes. You say, well, why are you telling me that today, Pastor? Because Lazarus had been brought back to life by Jesus, yet he was still bound to grave clothes. And what that means for you and I is, in the same way, many Christians have been brought back to life, but they are still bound by the same things in the grave. And even though God says, I brought you life, you're still just as dead as you've always been. You're still just as miserable, still just as grumpy, still just as greedy, still just as angry, still just messed up and jacked up. And God's saying, I want to heal you. But look, God didn't tell you to remove your own grave clothes. He told the church to do it. One of the biggest lies that the enemy is bringing upon the world in America today is that once you become a Christian, you don't need the church. You cannot be delivered from your grave clothes without people of God around you, speaking into your life, holding you accountable, checking you on your sin, praying through at the altar, laying hands on you, calling out demons, believing in God for revival. We cannot get what we need at home, isolated by ourselves, watching it live on Facebook. You can't remove your own grave clothes. You need the church to do that. That's why the Bible says that God has called prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Because it is the role of the people of God that he has elected and called to help you be delivered. But I thought once I gave my life to Jesus, I was whole. No. I was told once I gave my life to Jesus, I was good. No. A lot of you have been brought back to life from Jesus, but you're still walking around dead. And God wants to resurrect you. We have to ask ourselves a very important question. Have we taken off our grave clothes? Are we still in the past? The worship team's going to come, and I just want you to think about that for a second. Where are you at, man of God? Where are you at, woman of God? The Lord's got more for you and for me. He does. And I really believe that the Lord wanted me to share this message today because it's 2018. It's the third week of the new year. And it is my job today to challenge you that if you want more this year than you had last year, you better start moving your own stone out of the way. You need to get your butt in church every week. Don't expect a breakthrough, but you're unwilling to go to the altar. You need to move. How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough that you'll do absolutely anything, whatever it takes, to get what you need from God? Because that's what is necessary. Man, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a prier. For those of you that don't know what that means, I don't pry into people's business. Some of y'all came from other churches where the pastor did pry. I'm not a prier. A prior gets up in your stuff when you haven't been asked or invited to get in their stuff. But can I be honest with you and say, even though I don't pry, doesn't mean I don't see. It breaks my heart to see people that's been at our church for 8 years and they're the same way they were then now. Can I tell you that if you've been at Diverse City since 2009 and you haven't changed and it's 2018, that it is nobody's fault but your own? Can I tell you that God wants to do more in you? I don't mean lead some magnificent ministry and be a leader in the church and have this great role. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God wants to sanctify you. What that means is God wants to make you holy. And that means the things that you struggled with in 2009 should not be a struggle in 2017. If you had a bad mouth then, you shouldn't have a bad mouth now. If you had lust issues then, you shouldn't have lust issues now. We're always going to have issues, but our issues should change. And can I just tell you that it breaks my heart to see church people in church for 10 and 20 and 30 years, 5 years. Let's do 5 years. Let's do 2 years. And in 2 years, they cause the same problems with different people. They're in the same issues, struggling with the same sin. They're dealing with the same depression, dealing with the same anxiety, overwhelmed by the same problems, still can't defeat the same addictions. And I want you to know that you may be alive, but still dead. And God wants me to tell you today that there's hope beyond where you are today. That He brought you to life, but you got grave clothes on. And God is saying, I want to remove that too. And I want to do something in you that you've never experienced before. That's what God wants to do. Father, we welcome you. We're going to just sing this song, family. And if you say, man, God, I want more of you. I just want more of you. I want more of you. If you say, Pastor Ray, this message, this day, this service was for me. And God, I give away my life. Show me the rocks that need to be moved. Show me the steps that I need to take. I'm willing to be stretched. I'm willing to go where it stinks and hurts. God, I just want to be revived. If that's you, if you just say, I want new life. I want revived. I want more. I want more. Come, we're going to just sing this song. And the altar is open. We're going to pray. Let's worship together, and we're closing. We're about to close. Just come on. Come on. Let's worship.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blessed you.